This podcast is supported by The RealReal.
You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The RealReal. The RealReal is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The RealReal. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail?
Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
Welcome to the Ladies of Liverpool podcast.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
Ladies of Liverpool.
With Leanne Campbell.
Welcome back to another episode of Ladies of Liverpool. Absolutely loving all your comments and your thoughts. The fact you're subscribing and you're getting little reminders, it's gold. So thank you very much for keeping us in action. This week, this is going to be a little bit aimed at the sentimental type. Are you one of those people who like little mementos, little reminders? I'm not talking about going on your holidays and robbing a bath towel. I'm talking about things that remind you of people that are maybe no longer with us, or times that you loved, maybe a memento from your very first house or your very first job, or your signed shirt from your last day at school. All these things are so special to us, and often more important than things that cost a lot of money. I've got Ange with me in the studio today, and we're going to be chatting about Hope Street Casting. Maybe you've seen it, maybe you haven't. You're going to find out all about it and here, right now, on Ladies of Liverpool.
Ladies of Liverpool.
Ange.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me here.
Tell me about Ange first. Where are you from?
So, I am from Liverpool, Walton, been brought up there all my life.
Yeah.
And I have just got a biggest passion for art.
Yeah.
Finished school in 98, studied art, but it was at a point where, you know, art wasn't like really a job.
Yeah.
It was, that was more of a hobby. It wasn't a job. So it's something what I was really passionate about, but didn't do anything with it.
It reminds me a bit like the performing arts side of things.
It is.
There's so many talented artists, performers, singers, songwriters, but there are so few jobs. Yes. The industry's just saturated, isn't
I think
it?
As well, when you've got like parents from a generation who were, you know, oh, well, it's not really a, it's not really your job.
Yeah.
Do you know what
How
I mean?
How do you, go out and earn a living from art now?
From art, yes.
You see it on social media, don't you? Yes. So you'll see like so many as well, so many Scousers now.
Yeah.
And they're living abroad, they're in Dubai, they're doing one-off pieces.
Yes.
Because you can set up shop on the internet and
definitely
sell your pieces. It's a different world, isn't it,
It's
Ange?
Completely different world, absolutely.
So we're going back to 88, did
you
say?
98, finished
98.
School, studied art, didn't really do much with it.
Okay. What did you do?
So then I went into waiting children's homes for years.
Mm-hmm.
Got to add my children, two daughters, really close. And then I went to uni, Liverpool Uni, to study psychology. And this is where I then put art and psychology together.
This is so interesting, this.
So went to study psychology. Studies about memories, how memories can really help people, certainly people who were terminally ill, you know, people who were about to lose, people who they love, how memories can help. So there's a theory behind why I created what I created.
So what did you learn there? Just break this down. So I just think this is astonishing, something like this.
It is, it's really interesting.
So if you're dealing with losing someone,
so
and if we stop there, we've all done that.
Yes.
And there's no book, is there, that helps you through it? You sort of find your way through it.
Well, grief and loss is just, you know, there's no instruction book for that.
No. That's the big question people say. Would you rather just go to sleep and never wake up? Or no, you know, you've got months or whatever, and prepare and do all those final
things. Well, that's the thing. What I didn't particularly plan on doing what I was doing.
Yeah.
But I was working and doing research in like hospices, you know, like people who were terminally ill.
Yeah.
And looking at how their memory making, what did they do to make memories?
Yeah.
So a lot of the time it was, you know, like handprints. And so with the theory behind what I'd learnt about memories and stuff,
yeah,
it was about, I was thinking, we need something tangible. Mm-hmm. We can't just have, like, handprints, and as precious as they are,
yeah,
we needed something tangible. Mm-hmm. So I went on a body casting course, and we done hand castings.
And so you turned a handprint into a hand into that you can actually
into a physical, tangible
hold.
Hand casting. So let's just say me and you were holding hands.
Yeah.
We take a mould of that and we create an everlasting memory. Now, again, it's not necessarily all sentimental. It's mm-hmm. not, we have people in the studio who just want to make memories just with the families.
Yeah.
With the children while the children are young. And they're gorgeous.
I did that. So
you certainly did.
Talking about things that are sentimental to us and how that led to me being in your studio. Yeah, yeah. I went to see Ange because, I think I've mentioned it previously in a podcast, I was given a ring when my mum's sister passed away, Aunt Maria, and it's the most precious thing in my life.
Yeah.
And there's a story behind it of how she lost it. I actually had it in my little till, and I gave it back to her 5 years later, and it was just, it was
something so special.
Yeah, and it was our little memory, and it was always going to be mine when that day came, if that day came. And so I have got this beautiful big blue, like a sapphire almost,
gorgeous,
piece of jewellery on my hand. And I went to get a casting while the kids were younger.
Yeah.
And there was me, Jay, and the two kids.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, can you do us all together?
Yeah.
But I'd love you to feature Jay's wedding ring and this are Maria's.
Yeah.
And you did.
We did.
A brilliant job of it.
Again, it's just about, my aim for Hope Street is to cast the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's, you know, a family coming in. We've had families coming in. We've had couples coming in, weddings.
Babies, little newborn babies.
New babies. And then, as I say, there is the sentimental side where I'm going out to hospices, hospitals, people who are end of life. And we're just creating those memories.
So it's not just in the studio.
It's
you're
not
going
just,
into people's worlds and situations. That must be hard, Ange. That must take its toll.
So many people say to me, how can you manage your emotions? Because one minute I can be in a hospice who's somebody who's coming to the end of their life.
Yeah.
And within 20 minutes, I can be out walking around Asda or, you know, Sainsbury's.
Yeah.
As though you've got to learn that switch off.
Yeah.
And I think now I've been doing it for so long, you have got to learn that switch off because I am just like a sponge.
I suppose it's a bit like a police officer
or
a social worker.
Yes, of course it is.
You know,
a nurse, end-of-life nurse. It's something, anyone in that industry, you've got to be able to switch off.
Yeah.
And that's what, my main aim is just to cast that moment and create memories.
Yeah, so there's a beautiful side of this.
There is, of course there is.
And I want to focus on that first of all. So if you're sitting listening to this now and you're thinking, I'd love something like this. You can go into Hope Street. You can have a look at the studio.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hope Street Casting, find them on socials. They're all over the place. But I've never read a bad review. Purely because of you, I think. What you do is amazing. It's wonderful. Yeah. But it's who you are as a person.
Yeah. A lot of people do say that. Yeah. I can't really comment on that, but a lot of people do say
you're sad when it's finished because you go in, you do the initial casting, and my kids, as I say, were only little, and it was loads of fun for them, and we had a laugh.
For kids, it's so much fun because in the studio, it's messy. You know, a lot of the parents have been on the prosecco and stuff, and it's fun.
It's a day out.
The kids love it because it is really messy, and when we go to the sentimental side, it's not that way. It's really sensitive. It's really dignified.
And you've got to be both persons.
You've got to be that.
You've got to be the happy person. Yeah. You've got to be the...
And I think that's the skill you learn with your experience. You've got to be able to meet people where they are.
Mm-hmm.
So I can have the happy families coming in.
Yeah.
And then I can go into people who are literally on their knees. And you've got to be able to connect with those as well.
Yeah, yeah. And then walk away.
And then walk away and be back to being a mum.
Mm-hmm.
And be back to being a partner, a mum. Running a house, a business, and you just got to be yourself then.
So I think of it, of what I've seen on your pages and what I know. So we went in, we dipped our hand in, we had a laugh, we came away, we came back and we watched it. It's all been painted. I chose bronze and you put the blue on the ring and it was just incredible. You literally just to have a picture in your head. You say it once to Ange and she does it, and that's fabulous. And then I think of what must go on that doesn't make it to your social media, and that's what
there's
we want to know.
Trust me.
I want to know the good stories that nobody else knows. So I was Googling body parts you can get made into a casting.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen any on your Facebook.
Yeah. Oh, no, you won't.
Have you ever dipped a willy in your casting pot?
I have, yeah.
Have you?
I have.
Oh, I tell have. Me about it. So was it an extra large one that someone said this needs to go on the mantelpiece?
I have. No, it's generally for, to be honest, again, when I'm doing some stuff like that,
yeah,
it's generally for a purpose.
What so, in the world could the purpose be?
Well,
my Jay went, going for a pint. Before that, I'll pop into Ange, get me knob cast, and then I'll see it in a bit. I can't understand what the purpose would
so
be.
So it's generally, so let's just say we have a lady with breast cancer.
Oh, so body
there's
parts
always
can be.
Testicular cancer.
Oh my goodness.
Stuff what you wouldn't necessarily, yeah.
So if you're having a mastectomy,
yes,
someone might come to you and
yes,
say.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. I want to keep safe. You want to remember.
It's a keepsake because it's part of you.
And the guy's testicular cancer, yeah, they're getting them removed.
Yeah.
They want it's something to remember.
It's not necessarily like the creepy side, what people
have
would think
have you
had
about. The creepy side?
Yeah. Oh.
Because I talk openly about my DMs on Insta and I just look at your page and think, you're going to get it. Good style.
Of course, all the time. Yeah. Literally all of the time.
Isn't it weird to think that way, that just it's a given for me to see your page and see where someone's head would go?
There is times people, I'm normally quite a good reader, even off a phone call. Mm-hmm. So someone will call me up. I had a phone call the other day. Hi, do you do penises? So I was like, is there a reason? Because if there isn't, I can, you know, I do know other bodycasters that do a lot of erotic artwork.
Yeah.
Well, is it a man or a woman? And I was like, well, it doesn't really matter, does it?
Yeah.
You know, if that's what you want doing. I got a little bit of creepy vibes on that.
He wanted a woman.
Yes.
And to Vaseline them up.
It's exactly what it is. So I have got to be so careful for me, because I am, you know, I'm in that studio on my
yes.
own, and I have had some crazy requests, quite sneaky requests too, where they've actually got there.
Give us the manch.
Right, okay.
We can handle them, go on.
One of them. They were in English, so it's fine. I can talk about this.
Okay. Oh, talk about it anyway.
Well, I had a phone call.
Because we're not naming them. We're not putting pictures up.
No. Well, I had a phone call. Mm-hmm. And Mother's Day was coming up. And he said, I want to bring my daughter in for the foot casting.
Yeah.
She's a size 9. So I was like, oh, okay. Thought size 9. She's probably about 5. I don't know. Thought she
like
was
a baby
a child.
Size 9.
Yes.
Yeah.
But in the back of my head, I'm thinking, why are you saying she's a size 9? It's fine.
Yeah,
anyway,
it doesn't matter.
I was in London at the time, casting. Got home, arranged the casting. Guy knocked on the door with a daughter, transgender.
Yeah.
Who was a size 9.
Okay.
Like 9 feet.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, so he wanted you to be prepared for a big foot.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, as I say, didn't explain none of this,
no.
but this guy, I was expecting him to go and get the child out of the car or something.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
He walks in with his daughter.
Yeah.
Who was about 7 foot tall,
yeah.
size 9 feet.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, so this is your daughter.
What does he want to do with this?
Well, I don't know. This is the thing.
Did you get vibes it wasn't
yes.
a dad-daughter relationship?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and you know where you'd a bit, okay.
I wonder what happened to that foot.
Well,
did you do it?
Yeah, well,
you did the casting.
I've done it because I didn't know what. I didn't know what else. I couldn't exactly say no.
On what grounds would you say no?
Exactly, because
you're just casting a foot.
You couldn't, you couldn't do that. But when he went, I was like, oh, God.
You just felt like there was
just vibes.
Something else going on.
Yeah.
I watched a thing years ago, and it was on the telly, and it was women who noticed a change in the vaginas.
Yes.
As we get older, our vaginas change.
Yeah.
And they'd been reading about it. They were in a group, and this group of women were talking about the changes in the bodies.
Yeah.
And before they changed anymore, they wanted casts of their underneath.
Before
so they
it,
could keep it.
Yes, yes.
And
so
And they actually put them up in the living rooms. That is a very common.
That is a very common thing. I get asked that all the time. I just don't necessarily need to do that. But again, I'm very open-minded and it's art.
Yeah, it is.
No matter what. You know, it's not necessarily like a creepy thing. No. People see it as art.
Yeah, yeah.
People have vagina castings as...
an ashtray.
You wouldn't necessarily know it was... people do things...
It's what you're singing in that.
People do things what, like... They're not necessarily, like... It's not... They don't see that as, like, a creepy thing. Whereas us as women, you're probably... Oh, God, that's a bit... Well, no, you can't. When you're in our community, you just can't. Because it's such a... It's an eye-opener.
Yeah.
It's such an eye-opener. But, again, a lot of... It is a common thing for women to get vagina castings.
I suppose for you, your job is to sort of differentiate from, is this something that they actually want to keep?
Yeah.
Or are they here for the experience of what happens in my studio?
Yes.
Are they actually asked about this casting? Or do they just want...
For their own needs.
To get a pleasure or a kick.
And that's where I need to be careful. Now, I do know a caster who does very erotic casting. Like casting where... It's just erotic, very erotic art.
You between can't give us bitch, you've got to give me everything. if I was to be a fly on the wall of an erotic caster, what was I expecting to be getting
right,
cast?
So like sexual positions and stuff.
So you'd
actually
be...
intercourse. People, I don't particularly do that myself, but there is casters out there who will cast, like, you know, people in
how
sexual
does that
act.
Work, though? It what bit do you put the cast bit on?
Google it. Trust me, it can happen.
That, well, you're all led into Google now. So if it's in and you put the cast around it...
You can take a mould of anything.
So you get an arse and a pelvis...
Yeah, yeah.
...together.
Yeah.
And then just, like, put your umbrellas
Leanne,
on it.
Leanne, trust me, it's, like, beyond, like, in... Sexual acts and stuff.
And is that for the experience rather than the actual cast at the end, do you think?
Well, see, a lot of people are open-minded. A lot of people who are in that community, you know, don't necessarily want to say swingers and stuff, but people who are in that community, that's
would the
pretty...
word be like exhibitionists?
Exhibitionists.
Like if you want, if you had sex in front of people.
Yes.
And then this casting thing might fall into that little thing.
Yes,
kink.
In that category.
Yeah.
And that's, and again, I do know a guy who does that type of casting.
Mm. How much does he make?
And he's busy. He's busy all the time.
Does he charge more than you? Because
he
I
does,
would.
Yeah. Well, I'm guessing he would. Mm. He's only a local guy.
So he does it in Liverpool?
He does. Last I known, he was in Liverpool, Matthew. He was in Liverpool. But again, he's one of those. He's here, there, everywhere. He's just wherever the way it takes him, he's gone.
Off he goes.
But yeah, as I say, as far as Hope Street goes, I am definitely the sentimental side. But there is casters out there who are willing to cast anything and everything.
Yeah.
And you can't knock them for it because that's what people want.
Hey, if I walked in a house and they had the wheelie on a shelf, I wouldn't be offended.
No,
I'd be like,
not
that,
at all. You've got to be open-minded. Yeah. You've got to be open-minded because, you know, it's a business. And
exactly,
it's a business out there. And it's a business what not many, many people do.
And I think whatever your kink might be, as long as you're not hurting anyone,
of course,
crack on.
If they
the
want that, then you've got to...
Enjoy your life.
Of course you'd have.
You've only got one.
Of course you'd have.
So the sentimental stuff, when you were talking earlier on about, you know, ladies who are about to have a mastectomy or anyone's getting a body part removed, whatever that may be, and you then cast that for them.
Yeah.
When you're dealing with that situation, it must be so hard when you're hearing these stories.
Well, you know what? You know, one thing what this job has learnt me, certainly with like the ladies who are going through breast cancer.
Yeah.
You've just got to be so grateful for what you have. You can't take anything for granted because there are so many times ladies are coming to me, my age, younger than me, and I just think that could be me.
Yes.
That could be me one day.
You hear about it more and more. I get a lot of requests, and I think you might, when it comes to situations like this, and when you've got a public platform, in my head, I have this conversation all the time with myself, there isn't more cancer or more disease, it's surely because you're just hearing about it more.
Yeah.
I'm always torn whether there actually is much more going on than there used to be, or whether people just have access to these stories.
I think now with social media and stuff and everything, what, you know, there's
it's so public.
People have got platforms now what they can share stuff on.
Yeah.
But certainly in my role, you know, I am seeing this daily.
Yeah. And the stats are up that... Most definitely. About breast cancer.
Yeah, most definitely. And it's younger
people. It was one in three, now it's two in three, is it?
Yeah, two in three. You know, there's and the younger people.
Yeah.
And then there's children. And you're like, this is not right.
No,
do you know what I mean?
No.
There's children who are like suffering with terminal illnesses and you're like, this cannot be right.
And they're coming to your door and you're trying to give them a lovely day.
Oh, that's all I want to do.
When
is
I get
help.
These requests kind of through, whether it's like a charity night or an event or whatever else, and you want to donate your time and you having this skill and this gift, you must, and knowing you for who you are, you must want to do this for everyone who needs it. Anyone who wants it, you'd be up 24 hours a day to do. It's hard, isn't it, when you go, there are only so many hours in the day.
There is.
This is actually my job.
There is.
I do need to charge because I've got bills to pay
myself.
Of course. That must, you must be torn when you hear these stories, because I am.
Yeah.
And it's so hard to say, I've got to charge.
Yeah. Well, luckily for me, I've built so many good relationships with charities now.
Yeah.
Who have seen the business grow, seen exactly what I do.
Yeah.
And I'm working with a lot of families who have lost children, who are always willing to, you know, I'll donate in memory of. Charities who are willing to help children with complex needs, who will fund castings.
Okay,
Ruben Draw being one
of
them. They will fund castings for children who are, you know, who have either passed away, or terminal illness.
So
I'm lucky in a way now. We're building those connections.
So you've created this whole. For me, especially, I don't know whether other people have done it before you or whatever, but for me, you've created this business where people can come to you for whatever, whether they've just got engaged, they want the hand holes and the partner with the rings on or whatever, or whether they're saying goodbye to someone they love, a child, an adult, whatever. For you to sit back and look at this business that you've created from somewhere you didn't plan for it to come to.
Literally didn't plan.
Can we talk about that for anyone who's sitting on an idea and they're nervous
go
about
for
doing it?
So, with me, I started this business with no money. Literally didn't have no money. I had like the back end of a student loan.
Yeah.
What I got from uni. I had a couple of £100. Mm. Again, I paid a couple of £1,000 to go on this casting course in Edinburgh.
When you put that money, having your kids and everything else, when you put that money into that course, were you
I still
gone?
Didn't know. I still, I literally like
you're
got on the train.
Risk.
I left Aaron, I left the kids at Lime Street Station and I was gone. And I still didn't know what was going to come of this at all.
You could have got that money and threw it down the drain.
Quite
that
easily.
Could have been your holiday for the summer. As women, we do tend to feel guilt around anything that is improving ourselves.
And I did. Yeah. I genuinely did. But
this is for the family. It's not for you.
Even that was meant to be. It was just everything sort of fell into place. I found the money for the casting, the course. Mm-hmm. It just all fell into place. So I left them at Lime Street. I goes off to Edinburgh to do this course. Come back and I was like, I still didn't know what I was going to do with it, but I knew I had a vision.
Yeah.
I need to help people who are probably going to lose somebody. So my dad and my brother-in-law got in the spare bedroom, made me like a makeshift studio, and that's where it all started.
Started from your spare bedroom?
It started from a spare bedroom. Again, no idea. You know, I've probably done things wrong. No idea what I was doing at the time as far as business side goes.
Yeah.
But again, I knew what I was doing when I come to casting.
Can you remember your first customer? There's a story here, I can feel it.
Well, it was actually my niece. She's got a Dravet. She's got an epilepsy. Dravet syndrome. So it's epilepsy, like a very, very rare form of epilepsy.
Yeah.
And at that time, we didn't know whether she was going to live, die. She was only young. Didn't know whether she was going to live or die because these seizures, what she was having, was horrendous. So it was more of a, we need to do this. So it was like, push, just got pushed into it, get it done. And so thankfully, she's lived.
First,
yes.
Client.
Yes.
Was family.
Was family, yeah.
Which put you in good stead. That's,
well, it did.
That's worth its weight in gold for, yes, when you're going into other families.
Of course, because I was.
You've been there.
I've been there and done it. So as I say, we done that. Then again, it was just, it literally built up from word of mouth. Mm-hmm. So, you know, oh, Annie does this, you know, anyone who's going to lose someone, or again, the happy memories.
Yeah, yeah.
And it I outgrew the bedroom, you know, the spare bedroom, what was a studio, completely outgrew that. And just out the blue, I had an email, my dad got terminal cancer. Mm-hmm. The night he died, I got an email, which I didn't pick up for like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And it was like, we've got a studio on Hope Street. And I was like, I could not afford Hope Street. It was just, that was way out of my...
That's the dream, isn't it?
That was my dream, but it was just, no, I just couldn't do this. Anyway, went and spoke to Joanne, and she was like, look, we think it's possible for you.
Yeah.
Again, someone had heard something, who'd shared something.
Yeah.
We think you can do this. Because there was a bit of a loophole in rent, it wasn't necessarily, it was an office space, it wasn't like a business space.
Yeah.
The rent wasn't as bad as what we were thinking.
Yeah.
And the way I used to sort of like think about it, I'd think, I'd only need to do two casts and that could like cover my rent in Hope Street.
Yeah.
So that's how I literally started day to day,
that plunge,
hour to hour,
you?
Hour, literally hour to hour. So casts would come in and I'd think, right, there's me rent put away and I've got this and I've got that.
Yeah.
And then it just started to build and grow. And then businesses were then starting to notice it. Then charities were noticing it. Clare House, Zoe's Place.
It's become a service now, hasn't it? Rather than a business for you, it's become an actual service.
Yeah. So I don't know what's going to come in day to day. But I'm just there and I'm ready.
How many casts do you reckon you do a month?
It's probably, don't know, maybe about, I'd like to say 30, but it can be more.
That's amazing. So you've gone from,
like,
I just need two.
Yes.
To, yeah. I'm averaging about 30.
Yeah.
That is unbelievable.
Obviously, you know, I've really got to manage my time because I can get all these casts in.
Yeah.
But you've also got to get them out.
Because you're on your own as well.
I am on my own. My sisters are really good. They help me out no end.
With the casting?
With
or
the
casting. With your family and stuff? No, actually in the business.
In the studio, yeah. They do all the background work.
Like the admin, the calls, the
booking.
Well,
the admin, the preparing the casts and stuff. So they're really, really good at it. They just
fab.
They just like to stay in the background.
Oh, to work with your sister. I'd love to work
it's
with my
brilliant.
Sister.
I'm so lucky. That's the thing. I've even now got the kids. They come and do all my content work.
They're creative though, aren't
they?
They
are very,
well?
Very creative. Mm. So they are the ones who'll come in and take me pictures for me and stuff. And, you know, Mum, do this. And because I'm not the best on probably social media. I'm learning my way, but TikTok and stuff.
Do you think
stuff.
They'll enter the business?
I don't
your kids
know.
Could run your social media.
They really could. I mean, I'd like to think that they would, but they come in the studio and they're like, Mum, we're bored now, we want to go.
Yeah.
But that's just because it's mine.
Yes, yeah.
But, you know, a lot of the friends are like, your mum's got that. We love coming to your mum's studio and stuff.
They must be so proud.
I'd like to think they are.
Definitely.
But when they come, it's like, oh, we're bored now. We don't want to do this. Yeah. So I'm like, just show me this on TikTok. And they're like, oh, we can't do this. But I think that's just kids when it's your own kids.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'd like to say that they are proud.
Any standout clients that you've had for good, bad, ugly reasons, whatever that may be?
We had little Isaac in a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Isaac, you know, the little Liverpool mascot, he was just a little heartbreaker. He's fabulous. We have Paddy and his twins in, Paddy and Laura.
Oh, Paddy the Baddy.
Paddy the Baddy. Laura is, their two twins were in. They're just fabulous, fabulous couple. We had MTV in. We did actually have MTV in. This was a couple of years ago.
What did they want from
and
you?
And I thought it was a joke to begin.
Yeah.
At the beginning, I thought, this is just a joke. Yeah. MTV are not going to turn up at my studio.
Did they DM you?
They DM me. But even then, I'm like, this is just
when
someone...
I worked for Britain's Got Talent, they DM'd me. And I was like, scam.
Yeah.
Scam. So can't be real. That's the way of the world now, isn't it?
Well,
just
I
a little
was
DM
thinking,
on Insta.
This is just a scam. You know, this is someone just playing a joke at me. So they DM me. And, they, you know, the story behind it was... it was definitely reputable. Mm-hmm. They were doing a documentary on a lady who'd lost a lot of weight and she wanted a Brazilian bum lift. Okay. But she was going to do it natural. She was, you know, she was in the gym and stuff.
Yeah.
She said, and we want to get her a cast of her bum.
Of a good bum or the bum she didn't like?
Of a good bum. Well, of a bum what she'd worked really hard for.
The finished result.
So I was like, yeah, okay. So I'm sat in the studio. This is when I had just the front room. So I'm sat there and I'm thinking, no one's going to come. This is just, it's a scam.
Yeah.
Next thing, a camera crew, full on camera crew turns up.
Brilliant.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, the nerves kicked in. I was just like a bag of nerves. Yeah. But again, you've just got to do it.
You've got to do it.
You fake it till you make it. You've got to do it. You've got to like, anyway, put me good face on and thought, right, let's do this.
Yeah. Full of bravado.
So yeah.
I love it.
Cameras switched on.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, so we done it. We done the cast. We done this bum casting.
And was her bum fabulous?
Absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
And yeah, so we've got, so that's another thing.
So MTV. You've done TV, you've had celebrities in. Yeah, yeah. What's left on the list of things you want to do with your gorgeous? What used to be a little mini business, which is huge.
It was just a mini business. I don't know. I don't plan stuff.
Royalty, maybe.
Oh, well, yeah. Oh, well, yeah.
Imagine that.
I say, yeah, you know what? We done, it was so privileged. I had to go up to London about two years ago now for Help the Heroes, you know, the army.
Yeah.
So we went to the, like, an army care home. Can't I remember exactly where it was, but it was to go and cast a cast of a soldier who was shot in the war or blew up in the war. Absolutely horrendous. His injuries were just, and he was coming to the end of his life. Mm. And they were like, can you do this?
Yeah.
No, that was royalty to me.
Yes.
That was royalty to me because, you know, it was an honour.
Mm-hmm.
He's fighting for his country.
Yeah.
And I got the opportunity to go up and create memories for them. Yeah. And that cast was gorgeous.
What did you choose? What cast did you
hand casting, you know, he was very, very badly injured.
Yeah.
I think it was like a brain injury as well. So he was so deformed and stuff to the point I was thinking, I don't know, I'm going to do this cast. Yeah. But again, you're sort of on the spot. You've got to think on your feet. You've got to do this.
Yeah.
And we done it and it was just gorgeous.
For his family?
For his family. It was her husband and wife. And just as I'd left, he just passed.
Oh.
Yeah. So
just in his final moments.
In his final, well, yeah, within like a couple of hours, he'd not long passed.
The last day of his life.
Yeah. And
his wife managed to get a cast of his hand that she can hold.
It was actually the charity. The charity got in touch and was like, can you please come up?
There is something so special about, you know, you see it on socials now, people take pictures holding hands of people who've just passed in the final moments and stuff. But when you get one of these casts from hands, you see every crease,
it's
every
so
wrinkle.
Tangible, yeah.
It's like looking at the hands.
It is. Yeah.
Mine's up, it's right by our telly. Yeah. We love ours. And ours is there. And my kids have grown so much. Our Joseph's at work experience today. He's out and about getting
a
job. He's got massive big hands now. And a beard and a muzzy and everything. Just a couple of years ago, a handful of years ago, he had these tiny little hands.
You just don't realise, do you? You know, you blink, you say, like, it's really cliche, you blink and you miss it.
You do, yeah.
No, you literally blink.
Yeah. And I look at that little hand on your cast you did for us, and Annabelle's is even tinier.
Yeah, yeah,
I look at those tiny hands and think, what happened?
Yeah. You do. They're just 1 minute the babies, and then they're not.
Yeah.
And everything in between's a blur.
Yeah.
And that's what I say to people, you know, it's, they are, you're never going to get that second, that minute, that hour back. And that's why I encourage everyone, just come, get it done. A lot of people, obviously, with the, like, the really sentimental stuff, the end of life stuff, the memorial stuff, I'm working with so many funeral homes.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them don't know about me until it's happened. Yeah. And that's when funeral directors will get in touch with me.
And you didn't know that, so even once they've already passed?
Once they've passed, we do a memorial service. Yeah. Again, it's really sentimental. It's done really, really dignified.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the messy stuff what you see in the studio.
Yeah.
But a lot of the time what the families will say is, I didn't know about you beforehand.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we would have come to the studio.
And they think they've missed the moment, but they haven't.
To get it done. Mm-hmm. And then it's generally, if they do go to the funeral directors and they say, oh no, this is a service what we can offer.
Yeah.
Again, it's not for everybody.
Yeah.
It really isn't, but
I think if you saw it, it's for everyone.
And that's the thing.
I think if once you've experienced it, or you see one of Angie's castings, you think of anyone you've lost, I would love to have.
And I'm very sort of particular. Memory. It's not, you know, just a hand. It's not like we do it in a way where it's
art. It looks real. It's that person
it's
you
sentimental.
Lost.
It's sentimental. It's sentimental. And it's, you know, again, a lot of people do think, oh God, you know, what do you do? You know, like, there's times when I tell people and they're like, what? But and then they see it and they go, oh, wow.
It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful, yeah.
Again, it's not for everybody, the end of life stuff, the memorial stuff, but a lot of the time there is so many people who you think, they're like, thank God someone recommended you.
Yeah.
Because we would never have had this moment.
It's so interesting listening to you. I love hearing stories of, particularly of women, particularly ladies of Liverpool,
of course,
who are doing things that starts as a passion project and then becomes something incredible. Yeah. Not just financially, not just, oh, it's a massive business and they're making loads of money or whatever. Not that. It's something that they get up in the morning and they can't wait to do and they call it a job. And I think of particularly of the younger girls listening to this.
Definitely.
In uni, they're doing a course, they're halfway through it, they're thinking this isn't actually what I wanted. Turn it into whatever it is you want.
Well, I started that psychology degree assuming that I was going to work for mental health.
Yeah.
Never for one second did I think that I'd be doing what I'm doing now. I just didn't. I didn't put two and two together.
Yeah.
Until, obviously, you know, I'd finished uni and stuff, and then I brought the art back into it, and I was like, this can be something.
Yeah.
And it's not easy. It's not easy. Of course, it's not easy. There's so much anxiety with running your own business.
Yeah.
I'm 8 years in now. And it's only now I can sort of breathe and not panic.
Yeah.
But there is times, and, you know, there's still times where I go, right, I'm going to look for a job.
Yep. I just want to go in, get paid,
I'm going to look for a job.
Yeah.
Get me, no tax, no accountants and stuff, just because that's what stresses me out, the business side.
It's at moments like that you need to sit in a room with people you've helped and let them speak at you.
Definitely.
And tell you in their words what you've done.
Yeah.
There's so many messages in this podcast, and I think the outstanding one is, don't miss a minute
of life. I can't emphasise it enough. Mm-hmm. I really can't. It makes me emotional, even like
same.
Considering I'm quite good at controlling my emotions. When you're talking about stuff like that, you can't take anything for granted in life because you do not know how life can change in an instant, overnight. And a lot of my clients will tell you that.
If you're worried about something, face it. If there's something you need to say it.
Sweat the small stuff, not the big stuff.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Don't worry about, just live.
Just the
live
stuff you
today.
Can fix.
Yes.
I love it. And you've been an absolute joy.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm sure everyone else has. Rate, review the podcast, find Angie Hope Street Casting on all your social media platforms.
Yeah.
Give her a follow. It costs you nothing to listen and it costs you nothing to support all of our ladies of Liverpool who sit in this seat.
Thank you so
much.
Thanks,
Angie.
Thanks, Leanne.
Thanks for listening.
Subscribe now
via the iTunes Store.
Hear more from the Ladies of Liverpool via ladiesofliverpool.com.